Let's open our Bibles tonight to Genesis 24. I want to read you a beautiful story, and bring you a message entitled A Bride for the King. A Bride for the King, Genesis 24. This is one of my favorite stories, and I believe one of my favorite messages. I believe it answers so many, many questions for us. I love the Old Testament types. I never get tired of preaching from the Old Testament. The pictures and types and patterns of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament are so beautiful. This one in particular. It says to him, give all the prophets witness. Moses was a prophet. About 16 prophets in the Old Testament wrote of Christ. To him give all the prophets witness. And especially Moses. Our Lord himself said, Moses wrote of me. Moses wrote of me. Moses wrote this. Moses wrote of me. Now you always want to remember, though, that no picture in the Old Testament, no pattern, no type is perfect. It's just not perfect, and I'll tell you why. There are two reasons. God, the Lord uses these earthly stories and these earthly people to illustrate spiritual truth and to be a type of Christ, but no earthly type or story is a perfect picture of Christ. Can't be, number one, because the characters are flesh, and they can't perfectly reveal Christ. And then the incidences take place here on the earth. And his mission is to heaven. You know, the Old Testament priests are very faulty pictures of Christ. Very faulty pictures. They're a good picture, but very faulty. I think that's one reason Melchizedek came along, is to have a more accurate type of the priestly work of our Lord, because Aaron was such a limited type. But this story, oh, it's just tremendous. I wish that every preacher, young and old, would just rehearse this over and over again, read it over and over again. I need to read it ever so often, because it's deal so effectively with what we're trying to do, and that's preach the gospel. All right, let's read some of it, then I'll come back and make some comments. And Abraham, Genesis 24, was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, well, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. I'm going to tell her about a man she's never known, never met, never seen. And I'm asking her to come with me and marry him. Of course, she's not willing to do that. Must I needs then bring thy son again into the land from which thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. Now listen, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, and from the land of my kindred, this is Abraham speaking, the Lord God which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he will send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow you, then you'll be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning the matter. Now, let me stop there. Abraham represents the Heavenly Father. Imperfect, I know that, but nevertheless, he's the Heavenly Father. Isaac, the son, is the Lord Jesus. Isaac is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Abraham was wealthy, one of the wealthiest men of that time. And Abraham called this servant in. He said, "Now, I want a bride for my son Isaac. But I don't want a heathen bride. I want a bride of my people. Now you go to my people where I came from and get a woman to marry my son." Now see, the Lord Jesus Christ, Isaac is Abraham's heir. Everything that Abraham has is going to be Isaac's. Wealthy, powerful. Everything's going to be Isaac. And you see, Isaac represents our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is his. He is Lord. He is King by decree, by design, and by death. The Father hath given everything to the Son. Everything is his. That's what the Scripture said. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. The Scripture says that he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father. Christ is King, heir, sovereign, ruler, Lord of heaven and earth. It's all his. It's created for him, by him, for him, and by him all things consist. It's his. Now, the Heavenly Father has given him a bride. Our Lord Jesus has a people, a bride. Scripture tells us that. Ephesians 1 said that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. I received a letter from a television listener this week, a lady up in West Virginia, Mrs. Ellis. And she said about 2 or 3 weeks ago, said, "I missed your program." And said, "A friend of mine told me that you preached on that program about some people being chosen before the foundation of the world in Christ." And she said, "My neighbor and I have looked all over the Bible. We can't find it. So write to me and tell me where that's found and send me some information." Well, it's all through the Scripture. Our Lord Jesus Christ in John 17, he prayed about 6 times for those given him, the Father gave him, those whom the Father had given him. Ephesians, Paul said in chapter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, according as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy." He didn't choose us because we were holy. He chose us to make us holy. He chose us. Back yonder in the eternal counsels of God, he gave Christ to people. That's just so. That's in the Scripture. He made a covenant with his Son and gave him a people, and Christ became the surety of those people. That's so. Everybody who is being saved, you take, when I read this letter here from this young man in Australia, it was no accident that he found that piece of paper advertising that meeting. It was no accident that he came and heard the gospel. He was one of God's sheep. And the fact that these tapes have gone over and he's played them for his high school friend and that man's wife and mother and son, those are God's sheep. He has a people in every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue under heaven. And they will come. They'll be saved. And the Father gave them to the Son. That's so. My Father gave them me, he said. Now, so the father, Abraham, called the servant. Who's the servant? Abraham's the father, God the Father. Christ, Isaac's Christ, the Son. Who's the servant? He's the preacher. Preachers, missionaries, you, witnesses. They're witnesses. Jerry was telling me today about someone that in his family he's been talking to about the gospel, about Christ. He gave this person a tape. Person heard the tape several times, returned it, sent it back, called her. "You know what you told me, the story about this person you talked." Well, you're one of those servants. You're a servant. And he calls his servant, and he said to that servant, "Now, swear to me." And putting that hand under the thighs, like shaking hands, or like in court, you know, we put our hand on the Bible, swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but truth, sort of an affirmation, sort of a contact between. Now, you're promising me that you're going to do this, that you're going to go and get this bride for my son. And that's what the servant, that's what the preacher does. He goes, "Go ye into all the world," Christ said, "and preach the gospel to every creature." He said, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel." You see, we're ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. Be ye reconciled to God. That's what we are. Paul said this. He said, "God sent me to preach the gospel." And it's the gospel that we preach that quickens and calls and convicts and reveals Christ and brings folks to Christ. So that's the picture we have here in these first few verses, that Abraham, the Heavenly Father, says, "I'm going to have a bride for my son Isaac." Calls in his trusted servant, and he makes him swear, "I'm putting a responsibility on you. I'm bringing you to a commitment, that you're going to go and get this bride for my son. Don't you compromise now. You go get a bride for my son." And that's so the Heavenly Father has given Christ to people. Christ is the heir of all things. And he's given him a people. Given him before the world began. He knows who this bride, they know who, God knows who this bride is. This bride is the church. That's who this bride is. It's his church. And the servant's going after it. Now, verse 5 through 9, the servant had a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions. I know preachers do. I'm sure this servant standing there, here's Abraham, his master, and he sent him on this mission. And I'm sure the servant thought with himself, "Now, what if she doesn't believe me? What if this... How do I know which one is the one? Here I'm going to a strange land among a strange people, and I'm going to call a strange woman to come and marry a man she's never seen. This is an impossible task." And it is. It is. It's impossible as far as we're concerned. But we go forth with these four things we know. Every preacher ought to know these four. This is what Abraham said to the servant. Look at verse 7. The servant said, "Well, you know, how am I going to know? How are we going to work this out?" And Abraham said, "You listen to me." Verse 7. "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house by his sovereign will and mercy from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and sware unto me, saying, 'Unto thy seed will I give this land,' he'll send his angel." Who's the angel? The Holy Spirit. "He'll send his Holy Spirit before you." In other words, he's telling this servant, before you ever go to this land, before you ever encounter one woman, before you ever open your mouth, the angel of God is going to go before you, and the angel of God is going to speak to this woman. And when you get there, she's going to respond to you. That's right. And I know these four things as I go to preach, wherever I go to preach, on television, radio, here, meeting. Number one, the bride's been chosen. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, he said, "Beloved, I thank God for you, beloved of the Lord, because he hath from the beginning chosen you." Secondly, the servant is sent and he'll endure all things that bride might hear this gospel and be saved. That's right. In other words, that servant is committed to his master. And when he knows that his master has a people, and that people's going to be saved, that bride, that's the third thing, she's going to hear. And fourthly, she's going to come. "All that my father giveth me will come." She's going to come. "And him that cometh out of no wise cast out." Now, when a man knows that, it'll determine his message. He'll preach his master's gospel. He won't compromise it. He knows the bride's there. He knows the bride's chosen. He knows the bride will hear the gospel. He knows the bride will believe it. He knows the bride will come. He knows the bride is going to come back with him. And that'll determine his message. Consistently, what we were talking about. Consistently, it'll determine his message. It'll determine his music. He's not going to take some kind of music and try to woo her. He's not going to take a message and try to woo her. He's going to take a message and preach to her. He's going to talk about his master and the glory of his master and the beauty of his master and the power of his master and the riches of his master and the kindness of his master and all that. But he's not going to word it so that he'll bring her to himself. He wants her to love his master. Not him, his master. And he won't use some kind of music, you know, to put her under a spell. He doesn't want her under a spell. He wants her to consciously, intelligently know his master and know what he's saying. He's not going to use this psychological music to put her under a spell. And thirdly, it'll determine his methods. Yeah, it will determine his methods. He's not going to promise her something he can't give her. He's not going to say things that aren't so. He's going to tell it just like it is, just exactly like it is. He's not going to say, now, if you'll come and try my master and don't like him, you can come back. No, he's not going to say that. It'll determine his methods. It'll determine his manners. You know what he said? Later on, you'll read. He says, now, if you'll come, fine. If not, I'll be leaving. You send me somewhere else. Because he said, you don't have to come. I'm looking for the bride. That's what he told them later. I'm looking for the bride. So he's at peace. He's at rest in this matter. He's not all troubled and torn up. His manners are pleasant. He's not trying to force her on his master. He doesn't want to. He doesn't come to people and say, now, you've got to go. You've got to go. He's got to have you. He wants you. No. He just says, you're welcome. He's a wonderful master. And if you're the one, you're going to have a great life. But if you're not, you just stay right where you are. He's at peace. His manners, and then his motive. This servant here, Abraham called him and sent him out. He had one motive. And that was to find a bride, to tell her about his master, to glorify his master, and to come back home. That's exactly. He didn't covet anything in that land. He didn't covet a private following or gold or silver. He got his orders from his master. He got his provision from his master. He got his inspiration from his master. Everything was from his master. And his determination was to complete his mission and go home. Isn't that right? So if a preacher or a witness, or whomever, or just see what we're saying here. That Abraham's the father, Isaac is Christ, the bride is the church, the servant are his preachers, or witnesses, or teachers, or missionaries, or whomever, going out witness to people. And our message, our manners, our motive, our methods, our music, everything we use is geared to this one thing. My Lord has a bride. I'm looking for her. And she will hear my message. And she'll believe it, and she'll come. And if the ones I'm preaching to won't hear it, I'll go somewhere else, because I'm looking for that bride. I'm at peace about it. She's coming. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and there shall be one. It's going to be a marriage. One fellow said, there's plenty of room in heaven, but no vacancies. Every place setting has a name on it. Every place. There's a bride. And she's coming, say so. All right, now watch this. Let's go on and read some more. Verse 10. And the servant took his journey, and he took 10 camels,
of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. Oh, my, isn't that something? Available to him. All the goods. You know what those goodies are? The gospel. All the riches and treasures of the gospel. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, there, unto the city of Nahor, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. He's a man on a mission. And he said, let me tell you something. This man, this servant knew his inability. Do we know ours? I tell you, the opening of the heart, God has to do that. The new birth, God has to do that. The quickening of the dead, God has to do that. The revelation of Christ, God has to do that. No man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him. And this servant knew that. And he's going to pray. Now listen to him. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. In other words, bless my ministry. Bless my efforts. Show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city come out to draw water. There are lots of them. Lots of them. I can't see their hearts. All I can see is the outward flesh. God looks on the heart. I can't do a thing. We look over sinners and they all look the same. We can't give them life. We can't give them repentance. We can't give them faith. It's impossible with me. And he said, behold, I stand here, and they come. Verse 14, Lord, let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. Let her say, drink, and I'll give your camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for my servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, which was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her. And he said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. Now, what did he ask the Lord? Well, down here in verse 14, he said, let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down your pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. Let her say, drink, and I'll give you camels drink also. So here he said, verse 17, and the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. She said, drink, my Lord. She hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I'll draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all these camels. And the man, he knew something was going on. This is a true servant of God who sincerely knows these things that God's taught us. God's sovereign, God's on the throne, the Lord Almighty, omnipotent reigneth. He has the people, given them to Christ. And he sent us out to preach. And we go and preach. This man prayed, God, make our message effectual. Make my mission effectual. Reveal to me your people. Let them hear the word. Let them respond. Let them say, and they will. They'll say certain things. They'll say certain things. They'll talk about their own sin. They'll talk about their need of a redeemer. They'll talk about the good news of the gospel. They'll talk like this young man talked in his letter. And this man said, let her say certain things. And she said those things, and it just,
He's not sure now. He's not sure she's the one. But he's encouraged. He's encouraged. She's heard it. All right, let's read on. He's not, and the man wondering, verse 21. Don't write her name on the line yet. You know, this, we're getting too big a hurry, don't we? We're trying to look for converts anyway. He wondered. He figured now, he didn't say, well, you're the one. No, he didn't. He wondered at her and held his peace. I wish we could hold ours. I wish we could leave people to God. I wish we could wait on the Lord. Don't you? Held his peace. Held his peace. Namely, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Some of you feel like, I know you do. I know that people come, you bring people, and they hear the word, and they talk a little bit, and they say, Brother Man doesn't get very excited. No, he really doesn't. I've seen too many false alarms. I'd rather wait. I get excited in here. I'm not going to show it. Maybe this person's one of God's elect. Maybe this one really is hearing the gospel. Maybe this one truly a child of God. Maybe. You just hold your peace. You don't know. You can't see the heart. And we can be badly fooled, can't we? So just hold your peace. This might be one of God's own, but we'll wait and see. All right, verse 22. It came to pass as the camels had done drinking, the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands, 10 shekels weight of gold. Put a gate into her. He's good to her. He's kind to her. Kind to her. Let's be kind to folks. Let's be compassionate. Let's give. Let's be gracious in every way we can. He's good to her. Good to her. That's a lesson there, isn't it? And he says, whose daughter are you? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge in? She said, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which he bare unto Nahor. She said, moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. I believe she's the one. But he still held his peace. He said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her house, her mother's house, these things. Rebekah had a brother. His name was Laban. And Laban ran out to the man unto the well. And it came to pass when he saw the earring and the bracelet upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man and said, behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? Your kinfolks. I've prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house. Now I want you to watch this. He's still about his master's business. He's still about his master's business. He cared not for the comforts. He wouldn't be misdirected. He wouldn't be sidetracked. Now, don't you listen. Watch this. And the man came into the house and ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender for the camels and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. And he said, I'll not eat till I told my errand. I'm not going to be sidetracking this thing. They want to have a feast, you know. But he's there on a mission. His first love is his master and his master's gospel. Let's don't be sidetracked. Don't be taken up with the feastings and the frolics and all these things of the world. Let's get this matter settled here about man's salvation. Let's stay with the gospel. Stay with the gospel. And that's what he's showing us here. He said, I'm not going to eat until I told my errand. And they said, speak on. He said, I'm Abraham's servant, and the Lord has blessed my master greatly. He's become great. He's a sovereign God. He's a rich God. He's given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and ashes. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and to him
hath he given all that he hath. That's Christ our Lord. The Heavenly Father's given all things to Christ. Christ is king. Not going to be, he is king. He owns the universe, Jim. He owns the world. He owns the heavens. He owns the earth. He owns all things. It's all his. It's going to be his. He's going to have a name above every name, preeminent, exalted. Everything's going to be of him, through him, for him, by him, to him. This man's talking about his master. He loves his master. That's his message, everything. And my master made me swear, saying, verse 37, thou shalt not take a wife to my son or the daughters of the Canaanite, in whose land I dwell. Thou shalt go into my father's house, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, what if the woman won't follow me? And he said to me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee. Prosper thy way. Thou shalt not take a wife for my son of my kindred. Thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred, my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this thy oath. Then shalt thou be clear. When thou comest to my kindred, if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from thy oath. You're not to pick one. If the woman doesn't come, they don't give it to you, you're finished. Your dispensation's open. Isn't that what he said? Yeah. So I came this day unto the well, and I said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou shalt prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by this well of water. It come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of my pitcher to drink. She say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath pointed out of my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah, your daughter, came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down into the well and drew water. And I said to her, let me drink, I pray thee. She made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink. I'll give your camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels to drink. And I asked her, and I said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring on her face and the bracelets on her hand. And I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which hath led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. Now, here's the question. After all I've told you, who my master is and who his son is, after all I've told you about his wealth and beauty and his home and this privilege that is somebody's privilege to be his bride, forever reign with him. Now then, if you'll deal kindly and truly with my master, you tell me. And if not, you tell me. There's no just as I am 15 verses here, is there? There's no raise your hand and now listen. Now, if you're not quite make up your mind, let me pressure you a little more. No, I've told you who my master is. I've told you who the son is. I've told you of his glory and his beauty and his wealth and his power. And I've told you of the glory that'll be the one that marries him. Now, if you go with me, come on, let's go. If not, you tell me. That's all I'm asking you. If not, tell me, verse 49, and I'll go to the right or to the left. I'm not through. My ministry's not over till he has a bride. I'm not finished till he has a bride. I'm going to find that bride. If you're the bride, let's go. If you're not, you tell me. I'll head down the road. That's right. That's not hard, is it? That's just, see, you got to glorify God. That's what I say. You don't, my God's not a beggar. He has a bride. And I tell you this, you're highly favored of God if you're the bride. Oh, my goodness alive. There's just no way to even express it. But he has no unwilling bride. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. They'll come. They'll come. All right, let's go on. And then Laban
Verse 50, and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceeded from the Lord. We recognize that. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Mom and his daddy and her uncle. Here's her daddy and her uncle speaking. But we can't do anything about it. We can't say either way. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go. And let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard these words, he worshipped the Lord, bowed himself to the earth, and the servant brought forth jewels of silver. Now he had the father's permission and Laban's permission. But he hadn't got her answer yet, has he? And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah, and he gave also to her brother. Laban was a brother, wasn't he? And to her mother, precious thing. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night, rose up in the morning. He said, send me away with my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel stay a few days. Man's always got to work something in here, hasn't he? We're not ready to part with her yet. Let her stay a few days. Now, they've been doing all the talking. They haven't even talked to her. Let her stay a few days. Maybe 10 days. Maybe 2 weeks. She can stay home with us. And after that, she'll go. We'll send her. And he said to them, boy, I love this servant. I love the way he holds your feet to the fire, don't you? Holds the feet to the fire. This is... If she stays a few days, that's Isaac's business. But she belongs to him. That's what we're talking about. We're going to settle this matter. Now, he said, don't you hinder me. Don't you get in the way. Seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, well, we'll call the damsel, and he will inquire of her. Case has been stated. Now, the question is going to be put directly. And they said, call her. So verse 58, and they called Rebekah and said unto her, will you go with this man? Will you go? Cast your lot 100%. You go to be the bride of Isaac. Will you turn your back on your home and family and all these things you've always known to go to one whom you haven't known and haven't seen, but of whom you've heard? She said, I'll go. Isn't that beautiful? I'll go. You say, someone may say, well, preacher, are you surprised that she went with this servant? Yes and no. Yes, naturally, yes. Spiritually, no. She saw something. God revealed something to her, spoke to her heart, and she was acting on faith. But faith that saw. Were you surprised that Noah went into the ark? Yes and no. Naturally, yes. Here's a man who's never seen it rain. Scripture said it never rained up to that time. And he took all his family, built 120 years, built an ark, and then went in. God shut the door. Am I surprised he went in? Yeah. Naturally speaking, there's no answer. There's no answer to that. The natural world says that's foolishness. But the scripture says Noah being warned of things not seen. Not seen. Moved with fear. He saw them. He heard them. He believed them. And he moved with fear and built an ark to the salvation of the south. And this woman, Abraham said to the servant, said the angel of the Lord will go before you. He'll go before you. And I tell you, when we come to preach, I wish every preacher in America could understand. Well, yes, preachers do. But we don't come up here cold. We don't come up here alone. You don't witness. When you're talking to this person you're talking about, he's already done something before you came on the scene. This woman is already... God's Spirit's already dealing with her. God's Spirit chose her. God's Spirit dealt with her. God's Spirit revealed something to her. God's Spirit was working in her. That's the reason she said the very thing he wanted her to say.
The very thing he wanted her to say, she said. The very thing he wanted her to do, she did. Why'd she do that? God made her do it. Made her willing.
And when we step into the pulpit to preach the gospel, we're not coming up here looking for volunteers.
We're not looking for we're looking for brides.
And we're standing up here, if we could just see, and we're stating truth. My master is master. My king is king. My king's going to reign. This world's going to be destroyed. He's going to have a bride. He has a bride. He died for that bride. He purchased her. He paid a dowry, didn't he? He satisfied justice. He obeyed the law. He gave her a wedding dress that nobody else could give her. And she's coming. And I'm going around here telling everybody I know, and I'm asking, are you one of them? Nah, I'm not one of them. Okay, God bless you. Went on down the road. I'll go to the right or the left. But we'll find that bride. We're going to find that bride. And when you look at her and you say, will you go? She'll say, I'll go. I'll go. I'll go with you. Glad, at lock, stock, and barrel, I'll go with you. I see something others don't see. All right, that is a beautiful story, isn't it? That is so exciting, so wonderful. I love it. Oh, I love it. Let's do it again next Sunday. It wouldn't hurt at all, would it? You see what I say when I say preachers ought to read that regularly. And it'll give you that reminder that we keep that. Well, what if nobody will hear me? Most of them won't. But she will. She will. And boy, when she does, when she says those words, your heart just gets excited. Okay, Mike, come.